Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Does anybody have a favorite scripture? You have a favorite scripture? John 3:16, for God so loved him. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a favorite scripture? Yeah, that's right. Huh? Jeremiah 29:11. The plans I have for you. That one? Not to prosper you and not to harm you. 1 Corinthians 13, the love one. Love is patient, love is kind. I always put myself in the scripture to see if I'm a good lover. Stan is patient. Stan is kind. Stan does not envy. Stan does not boast. Am I a good lover? According to God's definition. Anybody else? What do you have? Favorite scripture? Psalm 91. Go ahead. What do you got? I'm not on top of that one. He who dwells in the secret place. Oh, I love it. I love it. Dave, what do you got? Way in the back. Shout it out so I can hear it. Romans. Go ahead. What is it? So not only do you have favorite verses, you kind of memorize them, right? Yeah, that's good. So one of the things, I don't have a favorite verse, really. I have a lot of verses that are meaningful, a lot of verses that are purposeful in my life. Philippians 4:13, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, but the application for that one is not just that it's 4:13. 4:13 is our anniversary date. So one of the ways in which you can learn to help yourself memorize kind of like the address is you attach a date to it, right? So it's like, what's a meaningful verse that's 4:13? And you can just start looking, right? Any 4:13s that are meaningful? Oh, look at that, Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another one is my birthday, 3:5. I'll start looking for 3:5, 3:5, 3:5. You know, this is Proverbs 3. Trust in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord God with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Submit to him, right, in all your ways, and he will guide your path. So I would encourage anybody who doesn't do that to do that. Maybe a mom who's got a specific child's birth date. Maybe you pick up a verse or look through the scriptures or your birth date or some anniversary date or something like that that can kind of get you to look through the scriptures and look at them. And you'll find that scripture has a lot of meaningful and purposeful things to your life. And it'll be very personal. Some of them are very personal, like 4:13 and 3:5 is very important to me. It's not like they're favorites, but they're meaningful and purposeful. And this passage of scripture is kind of the same way. It's very meaningful and has a lot of purpose for me. It's one of those ones that's close to the heart, you know, closer to the heart. I've stood on these verses for many, many, many years. And as a matter of fact, when I came and preached here, August 23rd in 2009, how many of years ago, 17 years ago almost, right? 17 some odd years ago. I stood on them and I preached on them. And I did that because I wanted to make certain that the congregation understood where I was coming from so that they would know who I am, that I'm not coming with wise and persuasive words. I lean on the Holy Spirit of God to be a demonstration, to work in me and through me. And I don't want that to change now. It's been relative and it's been effective and it's been the way of life. A demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, not my intellect or my wisdom. And I'll get through some along that. I came to the conclusion a long time ago that my life was not my own. At some point, you'll come to that conclusion that your life is not your own. See, parents kind of get that. At some point, you realize your life's not just about you anymore, is it? And really, the longer I've walked in, lived with Christ, I've learned that it's not my will, but his that needs to be accomplished. And really, aren't we all supposed to be doing that? It's not just a pastoral privilege for me. Life is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. So there's your first one, a demonstration. There's a demonstration. And I came to the Lord not very theologically, not even very religiously. I came to the Lord basically in some of the most desperate times, crisis in life, with the realization that I was going to now blame him for everything. I was just going to say, you know, from now on, you get the blame for all the stuff in my life. When I gave my life to Christ, I meant it. You're going to get all the blame. I was tired of me. I was tired of the negativity. I was tired of the suicidal tendencies. I was failing. I made a lot of bad decisions. I was suffering. And I'm at my wit's end. I'm tired of me. And I'm going to give my life to you. And I'm going to blame you from now on. And I did. And I blame him for an abundant, full life. I blame him for giving me my heart's desires. Married 37 years to the woman I fell in love with in the fifth grade. He gets the blame. A career in ministry? Listen, I am educated beyond my intelligence. Debt-free, give generously, relatively good health, though I'm getting older. But I realize I am not my own. I cannot claim anything for myself. He did it. And I'm grateful that he has. And I'm grateful every day. I wake up every day placing all the blame on God, the goodness of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Have you ever given your life over? And did you really mean it? You want an abundance of life? Give your life over to God. You want your heart's desires? Give your life over to God. I promise you, you don't even know what your heart's desires are 15 years from now, but he does. Give your life over. You want to be debt-free? Give your life over to him. He shows, he teaches, he guides. You want to be cheerful in your giving? Give your life over to him. You want a long career that is satisfying and fulfilling to the very depths of your soul? Give your life over to him. You want to have a voice of influence? Give your life over to him. If you give your life over to him and mean it, watch what happens. Watch how he begins to move in your life. Not for a day. I tried loving you last week, God, and you did nothing for me. No, I'm not talking about a week. I'm not talking about a month. I'm not talking about a year. I'm talking about your life. When you give it over completely. It's kind of like the moms in this room. They became moms, and their life was never the same. Ever. It's not supposed to be. Gave your life over. You're a mom now, and everything changed. Your identity changed. You're a mom. Worth celebrating. You don't live for yourself anymore. You know this. It approaches the divine. And this will cause you, moms, great joy and great pain. This will cause you great stress and agonizing and anxiousness. And it'll also bring you many hours of happiness and deep-seated joy that nothing else ever could. When you give your life over to Jesus, you're not the same ever again. Your identity is different. Plans change, priorities shift, the directions of your life open to new changes. And so here's your next one. Your plans, not God's plans. There's your plan. Nice, and you think it's going to be nice and smooth. My kids are never bad, right? They're always well behaved. They're always great. I'm going to have a wonderful church and I'm going to have a wonderful family. And you've got all your plans and it seems like smooth sailing, but God has other plans. And those other plans, they look kind of rough. They look like they're going to take a little bit of endurance and a little bit of strength and a little bit of patience. And I'm really not even all that sure about that, because if God was to tell me that's what it's going to take, I'm not sure I want to follow that God. Because I want my God to just make everything nice and easy and smooth, like I envision it. But God's got something deeper in mind for you. I did not plan to be a minister. Do you think I sat in a high school class? Whenever I was in high school, whenever I went to class. Do you think I sat around and said, I think I'd like to be a preacher of the Bible? No. Not even close. I didn't go to college thinking I was going to become some kind of a minister. I made a decision to chase money and follow money, learn about money, because I craved money and I wanted to be, you know, wealthy and rich. And who doesn't? I don't think Melinda planned to marry a minister. I was shaking her head, no. This is not my idea. This is not our idea. And yet he fulfills every need, every deep-seated want and desire. Our lives are full because of him. And he'll do the same for you. But you have to mean it. You have to really mean it. You know, you can't be half the time I'm going to follow the Lord and then the other 90% I'm just going to follow the world. Did you miss the joke? Yeah, did you miss the, see, there's the connection. See, she gets it, right? Pay attention, folks. So you can't be half the time following the world, following God, and then the other 90%. It's like a Yogi Berra thing, maybe. I don't know. Mwah. Pay attention. The jokes don't get any better, but they will come at you like that, okay? Glorify God, not self. Seek him with, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. See, this requires a proper view of yourself, though. So who are you? Who are you? Who? Right? I wrote these lyrics a long time ago. I have got nothing left to prove. All I am is because of you. You changed my mind and you changed my heart. I've got nothing left to fear. Every day I feel you near. You have made me a work of art. So who are you? My life, a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. My life, glorifying God. My existence sings praises unto God. And so does yours. I know who I am in Christ. I am God's possession. I am God's child. I am God's workmanship. I am God's friend. I am a temple. I am a vessel of the message of God. I am God's soldier. I'm an ambassador. I am God's minister proclaiming the good news. I am chosen. I am a co-laborer. I am a witness of the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I am beloved, not because of anything I've done, but because of everything that he has done. I am a witness to that. Who are you? I am light in the darkness. I am salt to the earth. I am secure. I am protected. I am sheltered. I am more than a conqueror. I am covered. I am kept. And I am hidden in Christ. I know who I am. Who are you? I am spiritually armed and I am dangerous to an evil world. I am shielded, I am washed in the blood, I am sanctified, and I am justified. I am empowered, and I am loved like no one else can love me on this planet. That's who I am. Now, who are you? And why are you here? My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, and they were not with very good jokes, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. Why? So your faith would not rest on a human wisdom, but on a demonstration of God's power. You'll need the Holy Spirit of God if you want to keep up with the movement of God. If you're going to want to keep up with the movement of this church, you're going to need the Holy Spirit of God. I do not want to demonstrate the power of Stan. I want to demonstrate the power of God. And what does that even look like? What does that even look like to demonstrate the power of God, right? Show us your power. Show us your power, Lord. What does that look like? You say, I got the power of the Lord, the strength of God. It looks like a boldness in your conviction. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a boldness in your conviction. The power of God demonstrating himself through you looks like patience. Looks like a peace that the world does not know. It looks like kindness, honesty, integrity. That when you find a wallet with $100, you actually take it to the person whose driver's license is in there. There's a certain amount of integrity. What's your integrity for sale for? There's a certain amount of compassion and humility and love. That's what the power of God looks like. It looks like it's revitalization. It looks like it's transformation. The power of God looks like creativity, looks like strength, and it looks like a supernatural peace that the world doesn't get. Acts says it this way: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses basically here, there, and everywhere. But it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. And if the power of God is to be displayed within us, it's going to look like forgiveness. And if the power of God is going to be displayed within us, it's going to look like mercy and grace. It's going to look like healing to your soul and to your mind and to your heart. You want a demonstration of the Spirit's power in your life? These are the things that you expect and see. These are the things that are demonstrated in your life. It looks like prophecy. It looks like evangelism. It looks like preaching and teaching. It looks like laying on the hands of people. It looks like even oftentimes silent contemplation. Are you, or do you, find it awkward to be silent? In the presence of God, should it be awkward to be silent? A demonstration of the Spirit's power is that the Holy Spirit within you knows when to stop talking and listen. One of the most powerful demonstrations of the Holy Spirit of God in your life is to be comfortable in his presence in silence. And I can promise you this: many congregations will never move to the point of maturity to be comfortable enough with themselves and the Holy Spirit of God to be silent for any length of time. The best ones can. I think we can. Demonstration of the Spirit's power is going to look like prayer. Should prayer be awkward in the church? Should reading scripture be awkward in the church? See, the demonstration looks like in unity as a body of believers, we soap the passage this week. So you came prepared to be a part of the body of Christ this week, having read and prepared to be and to hear what God would have for you from 1 Corinthians 2. And so you have to ask yourself, am I demonstrating the movement of the Holy Spirit of God, and am I in unity and community with my family of believers, or do I just ignore that and not participate in that a demonstration of the movement of the Holy Spirit of God will send conviction on you throughout the week concerning 1 Corinthians 3. And you'll think it, it'll gnaw at you, and you won't do it. You'll think it, it'll gnaw at you, it'll poke you, and you won't do it. You're not yielding yourself to the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. And this becomes, how does God speak to me? And this is some of the things I would like to talk to you about. How does God even talk to you? Because I know this, it looks weird. It feels weird. And I'm not afraid to be weird. My whole life is a demonstration of weirdness against the world. God wants to show you himself. And he wants to show the world himself through you. That's his plan. I know you have a plan that looks like this, but God's got a different kind of plan for you that's going to strengthen your character, that's going to do amazing things within you so your life is abundant and full, and what a great witness you're going to make. Are you working your own plan? Are you asking God to bless your plans? Or are you walking God's plans? So here's your next slide. So like, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And don't shoot the messenger, because the message ruffles your feathers. Be open to how God is speaking to you. Can you hear me now, God? Do you even know how the Holy Spirit is leading in your life? Do you recognize his voice? Do you recognize the prompting? Do you recognize the poking? Can you distinguish his voice from your voice? Can you flow with the Holy Spirit of God as he changes directions? See, the Corinthian church that we're reading about here, they had a lot of issues at this time. They were showing lots of signs of division. They were showing lots of signs of pride and arrogance. They had a ton of questions that led to doubt and disbelief and believing that one and not this one and following that guy, and it led to a lot of misunderstandings. And they were immature believers with a lot of voices coming at them. And Paul, he contrasts godly wisdom with worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom leading to division. It's leading to hatred. It's leading to greed. It's leading to self-centeredness. It's leading to exalting self. It's leading to self-destruction. Godly wisdom is leading to unity. It's leading to maturity. It's leading to healing and generosity. Maybe some of you have heard this before, but it's a perfect example of how God works in your life. I asked God for strength. Please, Lord, I need the strength. I need strength. And he gave me difficulties and problems to solve. God, give me wisdom. Here come more problems to solve. God, I need prosperity. I've given you brains and the ability to earn. I need courage. God puts you in dangerous positions. And you know this one. Don't pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. Why? Because it's going to put you in the longest line at the DMV. Right? This is how God works. I ask God, I need more love, and he brings more troubled people into my life. Did God answer prayers? Do you know how God works in your life? Do you know how he answers prayers? Do you know the movement of the Holy Spirit of God that develops your character and then transforms you? Here's your next one, is perception. Oftentimes we just have this perception. Do you perceive the worldly realities, or do you perceive spiritual realities? Are you a human being trying to have a spiritual experience, or are you a spiritual being trying to have a human experience? And when does your eternity start? And who am I talking to even right now? Am I talking to your flesh, or is my Holy Spirit speaking to your Holy Spirit and trying to connect with you about the desires of God and the movement of God in our lives. Who am I talking to? And who are you anyway? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, this is all just weird. It's just all weird. There's no connection to happen. You're kind of, you know, lost. You can't keep up. You'll find this boring. You'll find this irrelevant. And really, you won't connect. You won't be able to put the pieces together because you don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 12 says it this way: what we have received is not from the spirit of this world. So I receive something, but what I received is not something of this world. So I receive something, I got that, okay, I received something. Maybe it's better to say I received someone. I received something, but it's not of this world. So I'm possessed by something out of this world. See, we did not receive the spirit of this world, but we received the Holy Spirit who is from God. We received the Holy Spirit who is from God. Well, why? Why would he do that? Why would God give us something that's out of this world? Well, so that we can understand what God has given us. So that we might have the mind of God, we might have the mind of Christ, and we might understand what God is doing. I asked for everything so I could enjoy life. God gave me life so I could enjoy everything. Do you think like God? In your flesh, you will not, and you cannot, and you will not grasp God. You need the Holy Spirit of God to move into your life, and your life becomes a demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm a man possessed. A demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. And this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit of God. And what does that Holy Spirit do? Explains spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. It explains the spiritual realities with the Holy Spirit-infused words. It's Jesus. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who sows seeds. The kingdom of God is like a landowner who he's trying to share with you spiritual realities. One of the most frustrating things I think Jesus had to deal with. I'm trying to communicate to you on a spiritual level, but you keep thinking in the flesh. You keep thinking about the world. You keep thinking about in the world, and you're thinking with your flesh. You need the Holy Spirit of God. This is why Jesus had to go. I need to ascend so the Holy Spirit can come, and then you will receive power, and then you will be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. The person without the Holy Spirit does not even accept these things that come from the Spirit of God. They can't accept them. They consider them foolishness. And they can't even begin to understand them. We speak of heavenly things and the world does not get it. Why would we expect them to? I see a lot of people frustrated in the Holy Spirit of God with a world that doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God. Here's your next slide, by the way. I think I threw that one in there for you, Miss Jody. I am often misunderstood by the world. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Me, I'm often misunderstood by my family. I'm often misunderstood by those that are closest to me. We get frustrated in a world that does not have the Holy Spirit. And you'll need the Holy Spirit of God to give you a peace to deal with those that don't. You with me? And some do seek. I recognize there's a lot of spirituality in people, but they often seek in the wrong place because they do not have the Holy Spirit of God. They'll land in tarot cards and mystical gemstones. And here's your next slide. Many people are spiritually worldly. but they're godly ignorant. I do not have the spirit of this world. You do not have, you have not been given the spirit of this world. You have been given something out of this world. God has given you himself. Many are hungry. They have a spiritual hunger that God has implanted in them, that they would seek and that they would search, and they do. And many are just down the wrong avenues. They're going down the wrong places. They're venturing down the wrong ways. Many with their own philosophies and with their own mindsets, and they will not yield to God. They become very spiritually worldly, worldly spiritual. They understand the spiritualities of this world, but you do not have the spirit of this world. And are you ready? Many of them, maybe you, I'm not sure, they're limited to their own humanness. They're limited by their own humanness in their own flesh, their own evil desire. They're limited in, sorry. All right, so five senses of the human body, right? Can somebody name one? Sight? What? Hearing, I can't hear. What? Oh, the sense of touch. Oh, smell? Okay, there's one more. We're missing one more. Ah, the taste. Right? So we've got the five human senses, right? Taste, touch, sight, smell, right? Hearing. And which one of those interprets God? Really? Okay. Which one of them can discern prophecy? Hearing, speaking, okay. Which one of them can define eternity? None of them, some of them, all of them. Do you have these five senses? I want to say ten. Five senses. If you're not a believer. So you're human. Like a non-believer. They're just like you. And you're just like them. Given the senses. Right? Even though you're very unique, God has created you like no one else on the planet. That's amazing in itself, right? With a little imagination, the world can use these five senses, and they do, but it's limited to these five senses to define and interpret the world and the supernatural. So there's five senses that every human has, whether you're a believer or not, and you're trying to interpret the world and supernatural occurrences with your human senses. But I can tell you this, you will be limited by your human senses. Here's your next slide. See, we need both natural and supernatural senses to follow God. Otherwise, you're just of the world making up stuff, trying to reinterpret and interpret the senses that you have to try and define something that's way beyond you, that's supernatural. See, it's kind of like saying, what color is grace? And have you seen the Holy Spirit? What does mercy taste like? That's like trying to grab hold of the wind or push back the tide. What does forgiveness smell like? You're trying to define things supernaturally with your natural senses, and you get lost. Where's anybody ever claim a healing for God? I know that God healed me. I know that God healed me, put a big old boil on my back. I was very nervous about the boil on my back, so I scheduled an appointment to go see the doctor. The day I have a doctor's appointment, there's no big bump on my back. But they discover some other thing on my chest, cancer, right? I would have never gone anywhere near a doctor with this thing on my chest, but because there's something, right? So God moves it, right, and you claim a healing. Did your healing make a sound? We have all we need to understand and walk in the spiritual realities of God. There's a sixth sense. There's a supernatural. It's a Holy Spirit of God. In the spiritual realm and even in this church fellowship, I can look around and know for sure I see dead people. I see dead people. They're dead to themselves, but they're alive in Christ. Their lives are a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. It's not a demonstration of their five senses. It's a demonstration of the creativity the Holy Spirit has imparted in them, and that they thrive, and they live, and they exercise all the patience and kindness and integrity and love and all that God has poured out into their lives. They don't harbor it and hold it. They give it away. We're alive in Christ. Alive in Christ, alive by the Holy Spirit of God. So much more alive than those that are just walking in their humanness. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. Just realize this, that some people have a real perception problem. They have a perception problem. You can't solve their perception problems. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God. Only God can solve their perception problems. And listen, you can try naturally to try to convince them and debate them and argue with them and make intelligent arguments and make sense and many things like that, but it's going to take the supernatural. It's going to take a movement of the Holy Spirit of God. See, the person of this world has their mind set on the things of this world, but those that live according to the Holy Spirit have their mind set on the things that the Holy Spirit desires. And there's a lot of people that are living on the edge. And what I mean by that is they're living on the edge of their spirituality. They're living on the edge. They're hungry. They're kind of thinking about it. They kind of go to church once in a while. They kind of read the scriptures. You know, well, they won't pray out loud, but they're going to get there. They're on the edge. They're just on the edge. And God's just kind of keeps drawing you and keeps drawing you and keeps drawing you and keeps speaking to you and keeps speaking to you and makes you uncomfortable and ruffles your feathers and he gives you all kinds of things to think about. That's the God moving you to try to get you over the edge, to move you, to draw you a little bit closer. Those are the ones that are right on the verge of a breakthrough in their lives. They're ready to explode into the next level of their spiritual awareness. And God has prepared them and he's preparing you. These are the ones that are ready for their spiritual discernment to come into their lives so that they see things a little bit differently and from another perspective. They're ready to rise to new heights of enlightenment. And some can grab hold of it and they just won't let go. And they hunger for more. They want more. They desire more. They're ready for something new. They're ready for something more. They want more power. They want more insight. They want more of God in their lives. And listen, someone who's preaching and teaching from the Holy Spirit of God, speaking out of the Holy Spirit of God to people that are full of the Holy Spirit of God, it has a transforming effect on people's lives. It affects the lives of those that are believers that have this Holy Spirit of God, that sometimes they dance with it. I'm not sure, maybe they're not quite ready to give it all up and over, but when the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to the Holy Spirit of God within you, rise up, things lighten up, things start to burn within you. Those that hunger and thirst shall be fulfilled. There's a transformation that takes place. The congregation gets lifted up. The Holy Spirit starts working. And then every once in a while, you'll even hear shouts of amen from the congregation. You might even hear a hallelujah. You might even hear a praise the Lord. But then there's some that are just going to suppress. Because they're not sure. Is this freedom or is this worldly? I can't distinguish the difference between my own self and my own self about the Holy Spirit of God. You better start to move into a place where it is not a demonstration of you anymore, but a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in your life. And there will nothing that will hold you back from saying, praise the Lord! There'll be nothing that'll hold you back from saying, praise the Lord. You're sitting here right now, and God is speaking to you. He's working on you, and he's working in you. And some of you will dance around it, ignore it, think it's irrelevant, won't have the Holy Spirit in your own heart. Some of you, you're itching. Come on. Come on. Because what's happening is transformation. There's your next one. It's transformation. Transformation's happening. You're thinking, heart's moving. There's something stirring in my soul. This guy's, you know, speaking in such a way that's a demonstration. And it's hitting me hard. See, saying spiritual things to spiritual people will get their souls stirred up. Their minds begin to imagine the changes in their own lives. Their hearts get overwhelmed with love and with joy. Their hearts get overwhelmed with what they can do. See, when the Holy Spirit starts talking to you, you're not thinking about lunch. What are you thinking about? People see the kingdom of God. And when the Holy Spirit starts shifting and changing and moving and starts to mess with your mind a little bit and step on your toes, you see, when you fully kind of come off the edge, when you finally give yourself over, you realize there's no excuses anymore before a righteous and a holy God. There's only acceptance. He accepts you right where you are. And you realize there's no rationalization for all the things in my head. There's no rationalization that I can even begin to muster up for all the sins that I've committed. There's just confession. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. And when you're before that righteous and holy God and the Holy Spirit is stirred, there's no justification for you. There's no justification on your five senses that can bring you to a place of peace with God. Doesn't happen, can't happen, won't happen. You're walking in your humanness. All there is repentance. I am sorry, God. I will turn from my wicked ways. I will turn from my disbelief. I will turn from the way that I've been demonstrating all my humanness and my intellect, and I will move away and move into the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of my life. There'll be no explanations. There'll be no validations that will be required. Do you understand when I say that? That means there's no validations that I require from you to have the Holy Spirit of God moving in my life. It's just a complete letting go of oneself into the hands of God. And the hands of God will stir up the Holy Spirit within you. And you will break down. Spiritual lives will get poured out onto his people. And they will be empty and filled at the same time, as only God can do. There's an awareness of your own wickedness and his awesomeness. There's an assurance that God is at work transforming lives and the lives of those people that are around you. You'll see God lighting up his people. You'll see prayer breaking out. You see people praying in the parking lot. You see them praying before service. You see them praying on the phone over to each other. The Holy Spirit of God starts to move in such a way that you don't think about the five senses. You start thinking about the Holy Spirit of God and the movement of the Holy Spirit of God in people's lives. Praise and worship breaks out. Healing and deliverance. People start coming to church because they want to get their feathers ruffled. And people, the Holy Spirit will step on their toes. And they learn to like it because it's a transformation that takes place in them. And they say, I want to be more like Jesus. And I know I'm not there yet. So I keep going. I keep learning. I keep reading. I keep striving. I keep praying. I keep moving towards the Holy Spirit of God. And God is transforming you. God has been transforming me. And I don't have to explain it to those that are believers. They get it. God's moving in you. God's at work in your life. The ones that do not have the Holy Spirit of God, you're weird. You're just weird. Yes, I'm weird. To a secular world that doesn't get it. To a secular world that doesn't understand. You went to church on Sunday? The person with the Holy Spirit makes judgments about all things. Verse 15. Such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. Interesting. See, I am not persuaded by your disbelief. I am not persuaded that you ignore everything that I've said here today. Your disbelief does not faze me. Just like my belief doesn't faze you. I am not persuaded. You cannot remove the Holy Spirit of God within me. Even though you don't understand it, you don't get it, and you ignore it. That's fine. Who has the mind of the Lord? As to instruct the Lord, we have the mind of Christ. Here's your last one. Judging all things with the mind of Christ. What's that telling us? We can know what God wants from us. We can know His will for us in our lives. We can understand the spiritual nature of things. We can grasp on to the supernatural. And we can discern properly what God is, in fact, doing. And which things can we interpret with the mind of Christ? Which things? Which things? All things. All things. Here's where the good-spirited people get lost. Even though they're filled with the Holy Spirit, here's where they get lost. They make judgments out of their feelings. They make judgments based on their past. The Corinthian church was guilty of a lot of following that which was intellectual, or following that which is of their feelings. After all, your feelings, well, they're the voice of God. They have a paralysis by analysis. A paralysis by analysis. You know what I mean by that? They think way too much. They think way too much. They outthink God. They think they can think better than God. And they base a lot of their judgments on past hurts, on past pain, on unforgiveness, on wounds, on emotional struggles, and they'll even base future hope on past failure. So, here it is. Good discernment about judging all things starts with you. That you have to look at you and make a good judgment for yourself about yourself. And you'll have to include all those past hurts, all those past pains, all those past behaviors. And God can turn them. If they haven't been good, He can turn them. And a judgment about all things includes your things. You've been made brand new. You're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's given you the mind of Christ to accomplish your task. You're not given the Holy Spirit of God that you might condemn people. You've not been given the Holy Spirit of God that you might judge them into hell. You have not been given the mind of Christ that you might convict them to change. You have not been given the mind of Christ to shame them into conversion. If you had the mind of Christ, you would die for each and every one of them. You have the mind of Christ so that you might discern properly spiritually. Having the mind of Christ is understanding your own decisions. And we know we're not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we will be able to test and approve what God's good will is. And you won't be able to do that without the Holy Spirit of God. Father, in this place, I just thank you for these moments where we can look into your word. I thank you, Father, for the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in this place, this day. Father, I would pray that you would continue to move in the lives of mothers. And Father, as each of us are children, might you move in the lives of children. Father, encompass us, love us, guide us, lead us, teach us, fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, that we might have the mind of Christ to do the things that you have asked us to do and accomplish the tasks that you have before us. We come before you in thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God